consider that my parents died in so much pain. However, I'm disconnected. Probably because I don't really remember them. But is that an excuse? The only witness is Miss Steele, a 7-year-old girl. She has been under attentive mental and physical care. The doctor said that Miss Steele lost all recollection of what happened. After further investigation, the police closed the case as a gas malfunction. I exit the article not wanting to read more. I don't remember having a lake near our house, or even a basement. But Aunt and Uncle made it clear that they were never taking me back to Birmingham. Not that I wanted to, at least in the past. Now, I don't know. Am I ready to bury my head on the expense of having more nightmares? I release a breath through my nose. I probably need to see Dr. Conn again. Once I exit the bathroom, I'm transfixed by Aiden's frame on my bed. He's still in the same position I left him in. His arm with the tattoo rests on the pillow, as if I were still sleeping on it, and his other arm is slumped on the bed as I left it. Seems like he's a heavy sleeper. At this time on Saturday, I usually do some yoga. Not today. I tiptoe, lift Aiden's arm and snuggle in the crook of his warm body. My head rests on his bicep. I'm becoming too addicted too fast to how it feels to be in his embrace. I wrap my arm around his hard, defined midsection and push into him. An unmistakable bulge stabs the bottom of my stomach. I freeze. This must be what's called morning wood. I wonder if it can get harder while he sleeps. I run a hand in front of his face, but there's no response. With hesitant movements, I rub my stomach against it. Holy hell. His dick becomes rock hard, tinting against his dark jeans. Heat pools between my thighs and my skin warms. My nipples strain against the cotton of my PJs. I'm supposed to stop, but I can't. When it comes to Aiden, there's this constant craving for more. More contact. More touch. Just more. If I can't escape the beast or tame him, I can at least explore him. My strokes become bolder as I pick up the pace. With each up and down, wetness coats the insides of my thighs. I suppress a moan with the back of my hand.
You better be awake and well aware of what you're doing, sweetheart.
I freeze mid-rub, my ears heating. Shit. Wasn't he supposed to be a heavy sleeper?
Did I tell you to stop?
His husky, sleepy voice sends a throb straight to my core. Aiden slowly peels his eyes open. I always hated his eyes. That gray color reminds me of clouds, storms, and metal. And ruining my life. But telling myself that I hated them was only a deflection method, wasn't it? Because his eyes, they're fucking gorgeous. Heartbreakingly so. He threads his fingers into my hair and tugs the band free before bringing a strand of hair to his face and inhaling.
You smell like temptation.
I offer an awkward smile. Morning.
Screw mornings.
I laugh. Not a morning person? He's watching me intently in that inquisitive way before he narrows his eyes as his hand skims down from my waist to grip my hip.
Don't laugh in front of other people. Don't even smile in front of them.
Why not?
Your smiles and laughs belong to me. I don't like it when others look at what's mine.
Seriously? I roll my eyes. What's next? You'll lock me up in your cave and put a dozen babies in me? His lips quirk in amusement.
Can you handle it?
Handle what?
Me putting a dozen babies in you.
Are you for real?
We should start now.
My mouth hangs open as I search for any signs that he's joking, but he has an impressive poker face. It doesn't help that his erection is pressing into me, and he's not even the least bit apologetic about it. But then again, Aiden is never apologetic about anything. I try to wiggle free. Don't joke like that.
It's curious that I never joke with you, but you still think that I do.
He flips me so I'm on my back and he's hovering over me.
For the record, I do want to hide you where no one will see you.
Why? That's such a stupid question. He's just admitted to wanting to kidnap me, and all I care about is knowing why. I'm beginning to think like the scientists at the behavioral unit. They don't care about the acts, as long as they know the why behind those acts.
The thought of any other man touching you drives me fucking crazy. Especially since I haven't staked my claim yet.
Aiden's hand wraps around my throat, and he caresses the pulse point.
It's time to change that.
Chapter 28. It's time to change that. My muscles lock at his words. Aiden hovers over me like a looming danger, a force not to be reckoned with. The boy with metal eyes, harsh glares, and unhinged character got under my skin. And since he did that, he has the power to break me. I will destroy you. His first words to me are the defining point of our relationship. He can't just erase that with the few thoughtful things he did the past weeks, or by holding me to sleep after my nightmare. All of it could be another one of his mind games, so I'll lower my guard. Once he has my virginity, he'll drop me like a bad habit. He'll crush me and walk on the remains. Call it old-fashioned or naive, but I always wanted to save my first to someone I deeply care about. Aiden isn't that person. I place a hand at the center of his broad chest. I'm not ready. He tilts his head to the side, supporting himself on tense hands on either side of my head.
What do you mean by you're not ready?
I need more time.
More time for what?
I need more time to understand myself and make sure that I'm doing the right thing. You're too safe. Kim's words slice through my brain like razor-sharp claws.
I've been patient with you, Frozen.
I hate when he calls me that. I fix him with a glare. So that's what you wanted all along. You've been patient to get your dick wet.
If I wanted to get my dick wet, I would have fucked you and gotten you out of my system a long time ago.
Tears blur in my eyes, and I loathe myself for ever feeling comfortable in his presence or thinking that there's another layer beneath the suffocating smoke. Then why haven't you? If you did, we would have gone our separate ways. Why did you trick me into thinking that there could be more?
I told you.
His tone loses the nonchalance.
Sex isn't my endgame, and I've been patient to communicate that. You should know by now that I'm not a patient person, so don't push me.
I'm tempted to scream obscenities and push him off, but that will surely trigger his predatory side. I'll have to be smart about handling this situation. Seriously, I shouldn't be burning neurons to get him to act like a decent human being, but this is what I get for being involved with someone who disregards normal. I force my body to relax and suck in a few calming breaths. What have you been patient for? He lifts an eyebrow, apparently taken aback by my course of action. I like thwarting his plans. He's better to handle when he's taken off guard.
For you to want me,
he says with that air of casualty. Why is that important?
It just is.
You don't care about the moral repercussions, and you sure as hell aren't scared about the criminal consequences. So why didn't you just take it? Why didn't you rape me that day? As soon as I say the word rape, I regret it. I don't want to put ideas in his screwed-up head. But then again, he's a fucking lunatic. So he probably had worse ideas than that. He arches an eyebrow.
Do you want to be raped by me?
What? No! Seriously, is that your only deduction from what I said?
What am I supposed to deduce?
He lowers himself on his elbows so his chest grazes my breasts.
You just said that you wanted me to take from you.
I asked why you didn't take from me. Not that I wanted you to.
Semantics.
You're delusional. His fingers find my hair, stroking it gently. Too gently.
You know, the more you say I'm delusional, the surer I am that you're the delusional one. You want to deny yourself? Fine. You want to think you're a politically correct person? Also fine. You can lie to yourself all you like, but you don't fucking lie to me. You don't rub yourself all over my dick, then pretend you don't want me.
My lips tremble, and I thin them into a line.
I'm trying to get to you.
His nose drops to my neck, and I suck in a cracked breath.
I'm really trying to be fucking nice here, but if you keep hiding in that ice castle, I'll have no choice but to conquer.
My fingers dig into his t-shirt, wanting to inflict pain. Do I even have a choice in this?
You always have a choice with me. A queen or a pawn?
Of course. There's no in-between with him. Either I become the most important piece, or the most insignificant one. How poetic. He raises an eyebrow.
You play chess.
How do you know that?
Those who don't play think that the king is the most important piece, because the game is over when he dies. They don't know that the king is useless without his queen.
Now that is poetic. Who knew someone like Aiden cared about the queen? We can play, I ask tentatively. I'd take any option to dissipate the tension and get him off me.
We have to take care of you first.
Of course he wouldn't fall for that, dickhead. Take care of what?
Have you heard about rape fantasy?
My breathing catches in my throat. Fuck. Fuck. How the hell does he even know about that? I mean, I read about it. I even so shamelessly searched it in the porn sidebar. I felt sick to my stomach for the entire week after. How could I be interested in something that ruined women's lives? How could I be so depraved to fantasize about it? Maybe Aiden is my karma. Maybe I'm being punished for ever thinking about that. A spark shines in his eyes.
You have heard about it.
No, I murmur, turning my head to the side. You're the only one who's interested in these perverted things. God, I'm such a hypocrite.
You should look it up.
He grabs my chin and makes me face him.
I think you'll find it useful.
Useful how? A wolfish grin curves his lips. He knows he got my interest. Bastard.
There are people who like the rush of adrenaline that comes with rough, out-of-control sex. So they like being forced into it.
People like to be raped. I thought it was just a fantasy. Not practical. Right?
No, they like being forced to have sex. They usually plan it with their partners, so it's technically not rape.
Is that the excuse you tell yourself?
I don't tell myself excuses. I'm completely assertive of who and what I am. I know I'm different. I just don't care.
His finger traces down my cheek.
The excuse is for you, since you seem to so desperately need it.
I do not.
Fuck, Elsa. Stop being so damn stubborn.
Why don't you leave me alone? I hate the tremors in my voice. Why don't you let me go? A strange tightness grips my chest at the thought. What if he really lets me go? What if he...
I can't.
His voice drops. Why not?
I don't have a choice.
Something sharp and heavy slices through my chest. Aiden always has a choice. Hell, he even makes it clear that all choices are to his benefit. It doesn't make sense that he's the one without a choice. Are you playing another mind game?
Are you, Elsa? Because I was never supposed to like you this much. Hell, I wasn't supposed to think about you more than I think of myself.
I was never supposed to like you this much. Did I hear that right? Did Aiden just admit to liking me? I think it's right. I think Aiden likes me. And I believe him. Unlike me, Aiden is assertive to a fault. He's not afraid of admitting what he wants. He's free in ways you aren't. Maybe that's why you're attracted to him. Kim's words hit me like an unexpected blow. I waited for you to want me. I'm not supposed to like you this much. Those words dig black holes into my defenses. I let my hand travel up from his chest to the rippling tendons of his collarbone. Aiden grabs my hand in his stronger one. He shakes his head once.
Not so fast.
What? But why? Shame at being rejected sinks at the bottom of my stomach. Isn't this what he wanted?
Kiss me,
he says. Kiss you, I repeat, still confused out of my mind.
This time, I want you to wrap your arms around my neck and kiss me first, Elsa.
He's so unfair. I should have known that he won't only take. I should have known that he'd eventually want me to give. He's not interested in one battle. He wants to win the entire bloody war. A small voice whispers that I'll regret this tomorrow. But I don't care about tomorrow right now. I retrieve my hand from his and wrap both my arms around his neck. Then I seal my lips to his. Chapter 29. My kiss is tentative. Experimental. It's the first time I initiate a kiss. The first time I kiss Aiden, without him basically forcing it on me. At first, it's a slight press of my lips against his firm ones. Then my tongue darts out, and I lick his bottom lip over and over. Gaining more boldness, I pull myself up and slightly nibble on it, before trailing soft kisses on the corner of his mouth. The whole time, Aiden watches me with hooded eyes. Both his arms are taut as he leans his hands on the bed. He's not touching me. My bold face shrinks a little. Maybe he changed his mind. Maybe...
Fuck this.
Aiden groans as his lips crash to mine. His kiss is the complete opposite of my gentle ones. Aiden kisses like a madman searching for his sanity. It's always out of control. My breathing ceases when he thrusts his tongue inside my mouth and devours me. That's what Aiden does. He devours. He shreds me apart and strips me bare until he owns every part of me. Now that he's taking charge, I feel like I can let go. Let go. What a weird sensation. I was never tempted to let go before. If anything, I did everything by the rules so I wouldn't have to let go. Aiden's body is all over me. His legs barge between my trembling thighs. His chest flattens my aching breasts. His hands are all over my hair, my cheeks, my face. He's all over me. His raw intensity seeps under my skin and shoots straight into my veins. It's contagious. He's contagious. Aiden wrenches his mouth from mine and we both pant, breathing each other in. I'm caught in his stormy gaze. Since the beginning, he's always looked at me differently, like we're connected. Like he knows me better than anyone else. And maybe, just maybe, I wanted to know him better than anyone too. He breaks eye contact to fling my pajamas top over my head. The cloth rubs against my hard, sensitive nipples, sending a chill of pleasure between my legs. He palms one breast with a rough hand and grunts.
Did I tell you how much I love these?
His fiery gaze never leaves mine as he sucks a nipple into his mouth and pulls at it with his teeth. He doesn't bite, but the threat is there. My eyes droop and a moan spills from my throat. Still teasing with his teeth, he pinches the other nipple. His stormy eyes stay transfixed on me, as if he's challenging, or taunting me. My fingers slide to his hair, and I pull on the jet-black strands. I don't know if it's to push or pull him, and I don't get to decide. Aiden wraps a firm hand around my throat and bites down on my nipple so hard, pain shoots across my spine, and pleasure pulls in my core. His tongue laps around it, soothing the ache before he does it again. I cry out, my back arching. I can't move much because he's imprisoning me by his grip on my throat. It's like falling down a cliff. There should be nothing pleasing about that, because when I hit the bottom, I'll be dead. But right now, I don't think about the landing. I'm suspended in the act of falling. Beyond fear and self-imposed shackles, there's a thrill, excitement, the unknown. I'm becoming addicted to it. Still biting down on my nipple, Aiden reaches the other hand to yank down my pajama shorts. His fingers find my slick folds and he groans as he teases his way down. My body feels like it's been lit on fire while still falling down that cliff. 1,000 goosebumps cover my skin and seep into my bones. Aiden, he lifts his head. Lust and something else I can't put my finger on contort his face. My fingers curl into his t-shirt, and I attempt to pull it over his head. He clutches my fingers over his t-shirt, stopping me. Something crosses his handsome features. It's fast, and maybe, if I weren't so much under his spell, I would have figured out its meaning. The expression vanishes as fast as it came, and he yanks his t-shirt over his head. He's an athlete, so the six-pack shouldn't be a surprise. But the perfect proportions are a bit unfair. It's like he's shooting for a magazine. Now that he's bending his arms, the arrow tattoos seem to be pointing straight at his heart. Or mine. When my gaze slides back to his, he's watching me with a hard expression, like he's waiting for me to pounce. I have no doubt that if I do fight, he'll fight back. Depending on my choice, he'll make it as ugly or as pretty as he deems necessary. A queen or a pawn. My fingers trace up his hard sides and to his taut stomach. I don't know when touching him has become an addiction, a pleasure, a necessity. What would it feel like to engrave myself under his skin? That's a scary thought. Aiden yanks down his trousers along with his boxer briefs. He's as hard as the other time, if not more. It'll hurt. Why do I want it to hurt? Without releasing my throat, he positions himself between my legs. His free hand cups my jaw. His stormy eyes forge a path straight into my soul.
You drive me fucking crazy.
You drive me crazy too. It isn't funny anymore. Aiden is the cliff. Unknown. Unplanned. Unpredictable. He's my worst nightmare. He's also the closest thing I've had to freedom. Aiden squeezes my throat and slams inside me. He tears me apart in one go. I shriek against his mouth. It hurts. Holy shit. It fucking hurts. It's like being shred open from the inside by his size. According to Aunt's romance novels, other virgins in this situation would wait to adjust. They'd feel the need for the man to go easy. Me? I want it to go on. The pain. I want the pain to stay. My body arches into Aiden's. I grip his shoulders so tightly, my nails sink into the skin. He freezes, eyes meeting mine as he growls.
You're a virgin? How the fuck are you a virgin? Why?
Don't stop. I cut him off, slowly rocking my hips. Take it. I want him to go hard on me because I need the pain. I don't know why, but I just do. The pain means I'm alive. I'm living this moment. Considering Aiden's rough nature, I expected him to accept the invitation. Instead, he slowly rocks his hips forward. His thrusts are minimal, as if he's waiting for me to adjust. Then he kisses me. It's passionate, but gentle. Our tongues dance in an erotic, slow dance. He releases my neck, and he pulls me into him so I'm sitting on his lap. The new depth causes my knees to shake. His thrusts become slow and deep and maddening. I wanted the pain, but I got this euphoric feeling I didn't know I needed. Aiden smashed the illusion I had. He broke it and tore it to the ground. Something inside me cracks. My fingers thread into his hair, and I kiss him back with an intensity that matches his. I meet the gentle rock of his hips with mine. For what seems like forever, we kiss, letting our bodies get accustomed to each other. We kiss like it's the last kiss we'll ever have. Like a disaster will happen if we stop kissing. I try urging him to go harder by pulling on his hair, but he tugs on my hair back, as if silently communicating he won't follow my commands. Our limbs are so entangled that I don't know where he starts and I begin. A sheen of sweat covers our bodies, and the smell of sex lingers in the air, like an aphrodisiac. Aiden thrusts faster and sharper. A whimper-like moan escapes my lips when he hits a sensitive spot inside. Without breaking his rhythm, Aiden pushes me so I'm on my back. His hands slip under my thighs, and he flings both my legs over his broad shoulders. He wraps his hand around my throat. Whether to keep me in place or as a threat, I don't know. And I don't have time to think about it. He pounds into me with renewed energy. The new angle causes my walls to contract. The headboard creaks with every wild thrust and rock of his pelvis against mine. My heart palpitations are so fast, I'm scared I'll have a heart attack. It'll be worth it.
You're so beautiful.
He groans, his rhythm turning rougher and faster with every word he says.
You're maddening. You're addictive. You're fucking up everything.
I don't last. Maybe it's because of his words. The feel of him inside me, or his hand around my throat, or all of the above. A wave slashes through me, and I scream as I fall down with no landing in sight. This orgasm is nothing like the ones I had before. It's primal, raw, and so overwhelming that I can't breathe. Aiden continues his overwhelming onslaught, chasing his own orgasm. He goes on, and on, and on. I'm at that delirious state like the other time. I feel so sensitive and sore, but I don't want him to stop. I crave the pain and the pleasure he brings. I crave him. His shoulders tense, eyes still, wanting to watch him fall over the edge as he did to me. Aiden doesn't let me. He reaches down to my clit and teases it before thrusting into me one final time. I come again with a hoarse cry.
Fuck!
He groans as warmth fills my insides. Aiden remains inside me as he pulls me to him. My head rests on his chest, my ear against his heartbeat. His natural but erratic heartbeat. Thump, thump, thump. I brush my lips against his skin and remain that way as my lids flutter closed. Free. Is this what freedom's supposed to be like? Chapter 30. Something warm envelops my skin, almost like water. I startle awake, expecting to find myself in that murky, dark water from the nightmares. My breathing returns to normal when I recognize my surroundings. I'm in my bathroom, with its white tiles and pastel pink decor. I'm also sitting in my half-full bathtub, completely naked. Warm water cascades from the faucet, slowly submerging my breasts. Aiden faces me but is staring sideways, fussing with my shampoo in all his naked glory. I bite my lower lip as I openly gawk at him. There's a primal quality to his beauty that drew my attention since the first time I met him. His muscles flex with every move. The arrow tattoos slither with the rippling of his biceps. His cock is semi-hard, pointing in my direction. I wonder if it's always in that state, because I've never seen it flaccid.
"You're finally awake, sleepyhead,"
he says without lifting his head. I let my hand roam in the water. I can't believe Aiden is making me a bubble bath. "How long have I been out?" I ask.
"About 2 hours."
"And what did you do during that entire time?"
"Watched you."
"Watched you." Damn him and how easily he can say things like that. If it were me, I would have never admitted it. When I remain silent, he slides his metallic eyes up my body. And even though it's covered with bubbles, it's like he can see through them.
"I was also going through your Instagram."
I gulp. "You go through my Instagram?" He tilts his head to the side.
"Why do you think I followed you?"
I always thought it was some bullying method. Not that he was actually taking the following factor seriously.
"By the way, you still didn't follow me back,"
he says, as if it's something I forgot about. "So, why do you go through my Instagram?" I deflect. He shrugs.
"To see what you're up to."
"As in you're stalking me?" He grins.
"I prefer inquiring."
I splash water in his direction. "You're incurable."
"I'm curious."
He trails off.
"Why do you never post your face?"
"What?"
"You have pictures of food, picturesque settings, your aunt and uncle, Reed and her brother. But there's never a full shot of you. The only pictures of you are taken from behind or the side. There isn't one picture where you look at the camera. It's almost as if you're scared of it."
I lift my shoulder. "Not all of us love the attention."
Why do I feel that's not your case?"
When I don't reply, he turns around to retrieve the shampoo bottle. I gasp, the sound interrupting the cascading water. Slash marks. Aiden has 2 slashes down his back. They're faded into his tan skin, and that's probably why I haven't noticed them before. "What happened to you?" The question is at the tip of my tongue when Aiden faces me slowly. The darkness in his eyes cuts through me like 1,000 needles. It's like he's fighting with demons, and they're winning. The expression disappears as fast as it appeared. His infuriating poker face erases any emotions.
"You must be sore."
He moves behind the tub and out of view.
"I read that warm baths help."
"Aiden," my voice catches in my throat, not knowing what to say. The scars appear deep and old. They must have hurt like hell when he first got them. Then it hits me. Those marks must be the reason why Aiden is such a social anomaly. It must have been abuse. It looks so much like abuse. Something inside me shifts, and red, hot fury shoots through my veins. The need to hurt whoever did that to Aiden washes over me like a compulsion. I want to kill them. Aiden doesn't say anything. He just shampoos my hair. His fingers glide over my scalp, massaging it. I tilt my head back and sigh in contentment. "Aiden," I speak more clearly this time. "Did your father—"
"Jonathan King isn't a violent man."
He sounds sarcastic.
"He'll sue you for defamation if he hears you saying such nonsense."
"Then who is it?"
"None of your business."
"Well, I'm making it my business."
"You're not ready."
"Try me."
If I tell you, you'll have to tell me everything in return. And I mean every fucking thing, Elsa, including your nightmares. If you're ready to bare your soul to me, then, by all means, start first, sweetheart.
I clap my lips shut. Horror seeps into my bones at the thought of my nightmares and my childhood. I don't even like thinking about it, let alone talking about it. I'm itching to know about his scars, but not to the point of probing my own scars.
That's what I thought.
He spills water on my hair. I close my eyes as the water and shampoo cascade down my face. He managed to shut me up so easily. His counterargument is fair enough. You talk, I talk. But I still can't help sulking. Damn Aiden King. We spend a few minutes silent as he finishes rinsing my hair.
Why didn't you tell me you were a virgin?
He asks casually. I pause, startled by the drastic change of subject. I didn't tell you I wasn't.
Is that so?
Yes. You assumed it yourself. I crane my head to have a better look, but he grips me by the neck and keeps me facing ahead.
Why were you a virgin?
What type of question is that? He carefully tucks the strands of hair on the side of my neck. His hands curl on my shoulders.
It's simple enough. Why did you wait this long?
For the right person. But I don't tell him that, or he'd think he's the right person. I lift a shoulder. It's no big deal.
You know...
His tone is casual, but the undertone isn't.
There will be no trust between us if you continue lying to me.
I crane my head back to glance at him. Trust? You think I'd ever trust you? His lips tighten in a line, but he smiles.
Why not?
I don't know, Aiden. Maybe it has to do with the fact that you targeted me the first time you saw me, or that my life has been a living hell for 2 years because of you. Take your pick. One of his hands wraps around my nape. It's firm, as if to keep me in place.
Then why did you give me your virginity?
I'm attracted to you, I whisper. Even though I hate it, I just am. But that doesn't erase what you did the last 2 years. You keep pushing me. It's not like I have a choice than being attracted to you.
Is that what you want? A choice?
What does it matter? You always get what you want. I huff. Even when you give me a choice, it ends up playing in your favor. Aiden is thoughtful for a bit. The scary, silent type of thoughtful.
I see.
He drops his hands. A strange chill crawls up my spine despite the warm water. Aiden's poker face is the last thing I see before he walks out of the door. Chapter 31. On Monday, Uncle, Aunt and I are having breakfast together when I say, I want to see Dr. Khan. Two pairs of eyes snap from their tasks. Uncle pauses, drinking his morning coffee and reading from his tablet. Aunt stops packing my lunch, her hand shaking around the container. Are you having nightmares again? What did you see? Her tone is almost hysterical.
Stop it, Blair.
Uncle abandons his coffee and tablet on the table and rises to his feet. I face him as he clutches my shoulders and says in a cool voice,
Are you all right, Pumpkin? Why didn't you call us when you had the nightmares?
I can't help noticing the difference between Aunt and Uncle's reactions. Her eyes are shifty, and she keeps opening and closing the container as if she's not aware of what she's doing. Whenever the topic of my nightmares resurfaces, Aunt never asked me if I was okay. Her first question was always, What did you see? Uncle, on the other hand, always asked if I was fine. It's weird. In everything else, Aunt cares about my well-being more than Uncle. She's the one who acts like a Nazi to make sure I eat healthily. Maybe she doesn't think that my mental state is part of my health. Either way, I'm not in the mood to talk about my episode on Saturday. I smile and hope it comes out convincing. It's not about the nightmares. I just want to talk about the stress of exams. Aunt's shoulders droop and she stops opening and closing the container. Uncle's brows furrow.
You never had exam stress before, Pumpkin.
Everyone is competitive at school, and I keep thinking that maybe someone will push me out of the top 10%. The lies tumble from my mouth so easily. Strange. I always hated lying to them, but not today. Uncle nods.
I'll book an appointment.
Thanks, Uncle. Neither of them needs to know about my plans with Dr. Kon. I'm changing tactics about the whole psychotherapy. Uncle kisses the top of my head.
You know you can talk to us any time, Pumpkin, right? You don't have to hide anything as you did with your relationship with Aiden King.
Just hearing his name slashes pain through my chest. Since he walked out of my house on Saturday morning, there has been no trace of him. He didn't call or send me his usual crude texts. I've seen pictures of him on Instagram after the game on Saturday night. Elites won 2-0, and Xander scored both. It's so rare for Aiden not to score a game. When I said what I said in the bathroom, I didn't expect he'd just walk away. He's not the type to walk away. I kept telling myself that he'll come back to pester me, as usual. He'll barge into my life like he has every right to. He didn't. And that hurt, more than I care to admit. I nod absent-mindedly at Uncle, who goes back to his seat and resumes drinking his coffee. I sip from my juice. It tastes bitter, and I want to spit it back up. Aunt places the container in my back and touches her collarbone. Don't take this the wrong way, hun, but maybe you're stressing because you have a boyfriend. Uncle stares at her from above the rim of his cup. What? She never stressed before. It isn't a coincidence that she's starting to stress now that she has a boyfriend. She faces me, a warm glow on her face. It's subconscious, Elsie. Your attention span will be unknowingly divided. You can't possibly give your studies 100% of your energy, like you used to.
Drop it, Blair.
Uncle's voice is low with warning. No, she's right. I set my juice on the table. I shouldn't let anything come before my studies. Right? Aunt smiles with a victorious gleam, as if she were waiting for someone to agree with her. He's not good for you anyway. I perk up. What do you mean? She gives an awkward laugh. His last name is King. Their world is different from ours. It's better to end it now before you grow attached to him. Too late. Uncle sighs with exasperation, pinching his nose.
She has the right to make her own decisions.
I just don't want her to get hurt or to sacrifice her future over some boy drama. Aunt shoots back. My phone dings. Kim, I'm here. Thank God. I stand up and sling my backpack over my shoulders. Kim is here. I have to go. Take care, hun. Aunt smothers my hair back. Teamwork. Uncle gives me a tight smile, apparently still angry with Aunt. Teamwork. I echo back. Kiss them each on the cheek and head out. Aunt and Uncle's voices rise as soon as I'm at the front door.
She's not a child. Stop treating her like one.
Uncle says. I don't want her making mistakes, okay?
Mistakes? Come the fuck on, Blair. Are we going down that road?
She's my niece, okay? Mine. You wouldn't be in her life if it weren't for me, so stop interfering, Jackson.
18 is right around the corner. I can't wait to see what happens when the other shoe drops.
My feet falter at the last sentence. What the hell is that supposed to mean? Kim texts again. I open the door and step into the windy air. My ponytail blows in front of my face. Morning, Ellie. She's smiling wide, appearing in a good mood. Hey, Kim. Her smile drops. What's wrong? You look like you've seen a ghost.
I'm fine.
Hell to the no. Her expression softens. Tell me.
Where do I even start? I was ditched after giving up my virginity. My nightmares are becoming terrifying. Aunt and uncle are fighting because of me. Everything is tumbling over my head, and I can't seem to find a way out. I want to cry so hard, but that will ruin Kim's good mood. Due to her own family and school drama, she rarely has a good mood. I don't want to ruin it for her.
Menstrual cramps, I say. I think I'm getting my period soon.
Oh, that sucks. Kim drives out of the driveway. It isn't completely a lie, but it isn't menstrual cramps that hurt with every move. I'm still sore from Saturday. I haven't been able to move without feeling Aiden inside me. I try to listen to Kim talking about her family dinner, but my mind keeps drifting back to how Aiden left without a word. At first, I was ashamed to be abandoned like that. Then I had another feeling that's more in tune with Aiden's character. He only approached me for sex, after all. Now that he got what he wanted, everything was over. Good riddance. If I can spend the rest of senior year in peace, then I'll consider my virginity a sacrifice. The familiar pressure of tears builds behind my eyes. I just wish he hadn't lied to me and made me feel like I meant something. Fucker.
By the way, Kim's voice cuts through my thoughts. I heard Mum and Dad talk about something super weird yesterday.
Yeah? Kim's attention remains on the road as she speaks.
Remember when I told you that Aiden's mother died of an accident?
He's the last thing I want to talk about, but I can't help the curiosity.
What about her? So, Dad was saying that Alicia was suicidal anyway, so her death wasn't a surprise. However, Mom said that Dad doesn't understand. Alicia wasn't suicidal. She only wanted to save her baby.
She wanted to save her baby, I echo.
I know. Weird, right? Aiden is an only child, and he was at a camp. What baby was she trying to save?
Kim's voice drops to a whisper yell, because she doesn't know how to whisper properly.
Unless she had a child outside of marriage. Maybe she was off to meet her lover, and Uncle Jonathan sent a PI after her. There was a chase, and she crashed.
Whoa. You watch too many Korean soap operas, Kim.
Most families' problems are because of secret births. Just saying.
Soon after we reach the school, Kim switches subject to our upcoming tests. However, Alicia is all that occupies my thoughts. I keep thinking about something I read in a psychological thesis the other day. Most, if not all, mental issues start at childhood. I dislike umbrella terms that gather mental health problems, but that one stuck with me. The more I think about it, the more it rings true. A person is formed of jigsaw pieces, and if you want to really know anyone, then start at the pieces that formed his childhood. They're the base. Everything else is built on that. Uncle Jackson, for example, had a healthy childhood. Lawyer parents, steady income, football team player. He grew up into a stable, ambitious adult. It's his parents' expectations that set him out to be competitive. Aunt Blair and Mum had a poor background and a violent father when he's on the liquor. Unlike Mum, Aunt left Birmingham as soon as she was 18. She worked hard for a scholarship, so she could leave all that rubbish behind. She never returned to Birmingham until the accident that took my parents' lives. Her poor background pushed her to strive for perfection. Anything less is an insult to her intelligence. No matter how much of a perfectionist she is, a bit of her childhood seeps into her adult version. She's hot-headed, and resorts to yelling when she doesn't get what she wants. Even subconsciously, she's replicating the violence her father exerted on her. It's an endless, vicious cycle. I'm sure that Aiden's behavior has something, if not everything, to do with his childhood. Starting with Alicia. She's beginning to sound more and more like a mystery.
Stop. I want to bleach my head. Why am I even bothering with him anymore?
Still, as Kim and I walk the hallway, I can't help searching for the jet-black hair and those metallic eyes. We arrive at our class. Cole and Ronan are in deep conversation. Or more like Ronan is in a one-man show while Cole reads from a book. Upon seeing us, Ronan grins.
Bonjour, mademoiselle.
Cole nods in acknowledgement. I smile back as I slide into my seat and bring out my notebook and pencils.
Want a party at my place?
Ronan waggles his eyebrows at me, the insinuation of what happened at his last party clear.
Holy hell!
Kim's whisper yell draws my attention. I follow her field of vision, and my heart stops beating. Aiden walks into the classroom with Silver hanging off his arm. Chapter 32. The world stops spinning. My grip tightens around my pencil so hard, I'm surprised it doesn't snap in two. Silver has her hand around Aiden's bicep. She's chatting so happily, as if they're on some cliché teen drama. He offers her his dazzling smile that he flashed me 48 hours ago. Something inside me breaks. I can hear the sound, loud and final. I can feel the remnants shattering, piece by piece. They gather at the dark corners of my chest. Aiden's silver eyes meet mine, gleaming with mock condescension. I can almost imagine what he would have told me if he spoke. I took your virginity, and now I'm back where I belong. Silver has a smug expression. I try not to look at her. The shiny blonde hair cascading to his shoulders, or the uniform pressed to perfection. A king needs a queen, peasant. Pressure builds behind my eyes, but I refuse to let them see the effects they have on me. I refuse to let him see me cry again. I was stupid enough to show weakness before. Not anymore. For once, Ronan is speechless. He keeps staring between Aiden and Silver, then me, as if he's in some freak show. Cole glares at Silver, then at Aiden, before throwing me a sympathetic look.
You're okay,
Kim whispers from behind me. I smile, and for some reason, I think it comes out convincing. Can I borrow your notebook? Kim appears confused for a second. I plead with her, using my eyes.
Come on. Help me out, Kim.
Yeah, sure. She fishes into a bag and hands me her notebook. I open it in front of me and compare our notes from the last class. My hand is still tight around the pencil, and my shoulders are crowding with tension. But I manage to keep my expression as cool as possible. I'm not going to cry. The bitch queen stops beside my desk. Since I don't raise my head, my view is constricted to her hand clutching Aiden's arm. Her nails are French manicured, and she smells of Chanel. She always smells and looks classy, and although I never felt an inferiority complex before, it hits me like a hurricane now. My eyes drop to Aiden's Nike shoes, the pressed trousers, and a hint of his clean scent. It brings memories of how he held me against his chest. It was all a game. A stupid little game.
Aww, are you crying, Frozen?
Silver taunts. Of course she wouldn't leave me in peace. Although I know I shouldn't stoop down to Silver's level and indulge her, I won't let her walk all over me. I wipe under my eyes with my middle finger, then flash it to her with a smile. Oops, my tears froze. Ronan snorts, and Cole's lips curve into what resembles a smile. Silver's cheeks tint in red as she leans closer, as if to intimidate me.
Remember what I told you the last time, peasant?
Oh, I'm sorry. Your words aren't important enough for me to remember.
Hashtag burn.
Ronan coughs. Kim snorts. You little. Silver opens her mouth to say more, but Mrs. Stone walks into class. You're nothing. She hisses at my ear. Know your place. Aiden guides her away without a look in my direction. Not a word. Usually, he'd sit on my desk and try to charm me with his golden boy grins. He'd say,
Morning, sweetheart. Did you dream of me last night?
He'd poke and probe me until the teacher comes into class. He'd talk dirty in my ear and watch me with amusement as I squirm and fight not to blush. At first, it was an infuriating routine. But then I've gotten used to it. Hell, I might have looked forward to it, wondering what he'd say. Why did he do all that if he planned to take it away? Is this some sort of punishment? Another one of his mindfucks? I try to focus during class, especially since we have an upcoming test, but I can't. My attention keeps drifting back to Aiden and Silver. They're sitting next to each other at the back, downright flirting. He flashes her his golden boy smiles, and she slips him notes every now and then. I wonder what she's telling him. Find me after school. Fuck me after school. Let's make fun of Elsa. Damn them both to the darkest pit of hell. I'm not going to cry. I focus back on Mrs. Stone's monologue about the importance of literature. I'm fuming and my feet keep bouncing underneath the table. Honestly, I only have myself to blame. I'm the stupid fly who fell into his well-crafted web. I'm the moth who knew it'd burn but went to the fire anyway. In a thesis done by a Norwegian doctor, I don't remember his name, he highlighted the male species' behavior about a pursuit. He mentioned that men lose a considerable amount of their drive once they score the sex part of the deal. The general hypothesis is that subconsciously, men still have the caveman nature. They live for the chase, and once they have what they want, they just lose interest. I hated that thesis when I first came across it. It was the epitome of sexism and general hypothesis. But then, is it really wrong? It's proven time and again that the sense of safety can make men lazy in a relationship. That's why some of them cheat. They're always seeking that sense of thrill. The taboo of it. When we learned that the neighbor is divorcing her husband because of adultery, Aunt Blair said that most cheaters who later become in an official relationship don't last long. The strong desire they had was only because they were in a forbidden relationship. It's all about the chase. There's no denying that the chase turned Aiden on. My struggle gave him a challenge he needed to crack. A game he had to win. He did everything to make me bend to his will, and once he had me, his flame turned to ashes. He got me out of his system, and now he's done. I'm not going to cry. As soon as the bell rings, I stuff my things into my backpack and hurry to the washroom, ignoring Silver's shrill laughter. I need to wash my hands. No one talks to me or shoots bullying remarks in my direction. Seems that whatever brief thing I had with Aiden will keep the school off my back. Yet, I don't feel happy. I don't feel anything. For 2 years, I always had Aiden's attention, in some twisted way or another. But now it's like I don't even exist. I'm not going to cry. Something invisible crawls on my hands, and they feel so dirty inside and out. I barge into the washroom and thrust my hand under the faucet. I scrub them over and over. Between my fingers, underneath my nails, I rub my palms, the back of my hand, and even my wrists. I don't stop until my skin is red and stinging. I stand in the washroom alone. The sound of water fills the empty silence. As I stare at my red hands,
The first tear falls on the side of my palm. The second follows. Then the third. I sniffle, trying to hold back the tears as I did since Saturday. Only this time, I can't fight the tide. So I let it loose. I promise myself that this is the last time I cry for Aidan King. Chapter 33. For the rest of the day, I try to pretend that Aidan and Silva don't exist. But the thing about pretending, it's all about putting a cool mask on the outside and burning on the inside. Every time I see Silva's arm draped around Aidan's, I itch to break it. I want to pound her face into the floor until she no longer breathes. That's another scary thought. I've been having too many scary thoughts lately. I'm probably backpedaling. To what? I don't know. I'm not even supposed to think I'm backpedaling. That would mean I admit having a worse state of mind, and I'm rearing back to that. I really need to see Dr. Kahn. With heavy feet, I head to the pitch. I'm really not in the mood to share a practice space with Aidan. I contemplated cutting school, but that would mean I'm running away. And after the washroom episode, I promised myself to never cry or run away anymore. My gaze strays to the pitch where some of the football team players are stretching. Aidan stands at the sideline talking to Silva. It's like he's honey and she's a bee. She wouldn't stop hanging off his arm like a parasite. But is she a parasite? If he keeps smiling at her like that? If he keeps flirting with her? He wreaks everything in his path with a smile on his face, including my heart. I want to play tough, to think I'll wake up tomorrow and he'll be in the past. But I'd only be fooling myself. So I hide in the corner like a creep, having a pity party with myself. We still have 15 minutes until practice. I already changed into my track clothes, but I'm dreading going down there. I don't even have Kim to keep me company. Screw Aidan and his Barbie doll. I won't run away. The moment I straighten myself, I notice a shadow lurking in the back. I startle with a small gasp. Cole sits under a plum tree, reading a book. Nussi, by Jean-Pierre Sartre. My cheeks tint with red at the thought that he's seen me act like a coward for the past 5 minutes. He's dressed in Elite's jersey and shorts. His hair is slightly wet, as if he ran it under a faucet. Aside from Aidan, Cole has always been the most mysterious. He's not talkative at all. I can count the number of times I heard his voice. He's usually the audience of Ronan's animated speeches, and the most adult-like out of the four horsemen. That's probably why he's Elite's captain. Cole never showed me malice or interest. He just exists, as if passing through the school is a breeze in his life. He's popular, but he's not a man-whore like Xander and Ronan. He's just serene. Now that I study him closely, he's quite handsome, with long chestnut hair and dark green eyes like the forest after the rain. If I weren't so biased, I'd say he's even more good-looking than Aidan. His beauty is calm compared to Aiden's dangerous one. He throws me a glance over his book. I can't help but smile at the image. He's reading Jean-Pierre Sartre while he's in his football uniform.
Is my book funny?
He asks, with no maliciousness. I never thought athletes were interested in existentialism theories. He raises a thick eyebrow.
Aren't you an athlete, too?
Touché. I should have said football players.
Because we're so dumb?
There's still no threat in his tone. If anything, it's filled with mild curiosity. I didn't mean that. My cheeks tint. I don't want to come off judgmental.
Well, we can be.
He points at his book.
So what do you think about existentialism?
I'm taken aback. He didn't ask what I know about it, but what I think about it. So he's sure I've read about it. But then again, I wouldn't have associated Nusi and Siat to existentialism if I didn't at least know something about it. Hmm. I lean back against the stone wall. I believe it's a negative and nihilistic philosophy. His posture quirks up as if he's a kid given his favorite toy.
So you don't believe that existence precedes essence?
Not per se. It can be true to some extent, but the whole theory is hyper-individualist. A person isn't an entity that can't be touched or manipulated. I tip my chin. Challenge that, mister. Your race striker is a class 1 manipulator. Cole seems smart.